everybody, and welcome back to Horror, Blood, and Coffee. I have an awesome show coming for you guys. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, but I'm also with...
your lovely and fabulous co-host, Samantha Marie.
And?
The big dick motherfucker, Derek Hewitt.
All right, we got all three of us together again.
My dog, Addie's here. Is it your dog? You got your dog?
My Jackie's dogs are here. One of them was whining at me earlier, but now he's seems to be okay. So
yeah, if you hear any like prancing around, it's just our dogs.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Wood floors and like a dog with really long nails doesn't really go well together.
So we're here to talk about the 2021 movie, which I think this is one of the first times in a while that we've done a movie that came out the same year, you know, because there hasn't really been many movies coming out, you know, lately or whatever. Everything's been going straight to VOD pretty much, except some theaters, you know, have been playing them. So,
rented this one.
No, we bought it.
Oh, we bought it.
Well, yeah. It was only like $3 more to buy than to rent. So I was like, might as well buy it.
I mean, I know some theaters like played this for like a select time, but it wasn't anywhere in our area. So I'm really glad though that we didn't go see this in a theater.
Right. And for $10, I think it was like for Google Play, it was $10. You know, and it was like $6 to freaking rent it or whatever. So I rented it because I thought if I didn't like it, you know, it was only $6. If I did like it, I could always buy it for $10 later, you know, if it's something I ended up wanting to watch more than once. And honestly, the Wrong Turn series has never been my favorite series. Like, I like the first one, but all the rest are just okay, you know, and they gradually kind of get worse.
In the woods and you feel a little too close to home.
All right, we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about that because that was like one of my first notes. A Wrong Turn movie that is set in Virginia and not West Virginia. Now, I could say stuff about you unless you want to say something, Samantha.
I want to say it. I feel like maybe some of your relatives might have been in this movie.
No, that wasn't what I was going to say. But...
I found out where it was. I immediately thought of you and I laughed.
Well, the funny
dudes were just a bunch of Moody's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the funny thing about it is, you know, the first several movies are set in West Virginia, right? And not many people are aware that there is a state called West Virginia, you know. And that, you know,
hey, people are aware that West Virginia is its own state.
That's what I'm saying. So some people aren't aware of that. They think it's just the western part of Virginia. And right. So it's really funny. I almost feel like that was the case in this freaking when they wrote this movie is they met West Virginia, but they wrote, you know, Virginia or something. Well, maybe not, because it does take place in the Appalachians, which is in Virginia. So.
Or some people pronounce that Appalachians, which whatever.
Have you heard people? I've never heard. See, I'm from Virginia, so everybody right. calls it the way, you know.
I was telling Derek, because Derek didn't know anything about the trail, and he actually called it. How'd you pronounce it?
I think like Appalachian or something.
Appalachian. That's
how you say it.
Yeah, that's not how you said it. Appalachian.
I have no clue.
Okay, well, he said it wrong, and I looked at him, and I was like, well, I don't know if it's wrong. Maybe it's, like, one of those, like, tomato-tomato, where in different areas people pronounce it differently.
We have that. We actually have a bunch of that in Virginia. There are certain places that if you go there, people will say say things differently. So it's set in Virginia, which I guess... kind of works for the idea that it has, also works for the kind of remake, you know. Like, I almost, when I was hearing that, when I kept hearing Virginia, I go, well, that's a big fuck you to the original movie, you know, because it's like we're not even going to set it in the same state. We're going to set it.
This isn't really. See, I was a fan of the Wrong Turn series. Like the first Wrong Turn was a serious movie. It was like, you know, it was supposed to be like a serious horror movie. And I enjoyed it. And then, you know, the sequels that spawned were not serious. They were just literally like kill and gore and, you know, but they didn't take themselves too seriously. And I appreciated it. Like, I enjoyed it. It was fun to watch. I liked them. And then I watched this one, and this one's nothing like at all.
Any of them.
It's not like the Wrong Turn that we all know and love.
And it's written by the guy who made the original Wrong Turn. So that's the weird part.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he wrote another movie, and then they're like, well, you wrote Wrong Turn. Let's just make this a Wrong Turn movie.
You He's know? Like, no, it's called The Foundation. Please, no.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the comments I read said that it would have been a decent movie if it wasn't called Wrong Turn. So yeah. I don't understand. I guess they just try to lure us in, thinking it was, you know, they wanted all of the Wrong Turn fans to tune in, but I felt a little bamboozled.
And look, I heard that, like, going in, that there wasn't any inbred, you know, mutants or whatever in the movie. But so I knew that, like, I knew going in that this wasn't going to be a Wrong Turn. And I was like, I'm hoping it's at least decent, you know, like it's at least a fun movie. And the movie reminded me way too much of Midsommar, you know, like that it just took me out of it. Like, I was just like, okay, I get it. You're trying to make a Midsommar that's a little bit more mainstream, you know, than Midsommar was. Like, that's how I felt about it. I don't know if you guys got that out of it or not, even thought it was anything like Midsommar.
Get into like an ethical movie and like about morals, and like, I don't watch a horror movie to think about morals or ethics. Like, no.
Well, that was the only part that I thought was interesting, but then they shit all over it when the dad brought the two guys in. And then they just fucking sentenced the dad to darkness just for being there. So the whole moral part where, oh, we were just going to bring your friend and let him go, was all fucking bullshit. So, like, that's the only part that I liked. And then they took a steaming dump all over that idea. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so they're just fucking shitty people anyway.
So I have not seen Matthew Modine in forever. And when I first saw him, I thought he looked like Ted Danson meets Clint Eastwood. That was my, you know, I mean, and it kind of had a like Clint Eastwood feel to his character, like, you know, the grizzly father who's got to get his daughter back, you know, or whatever. But unfortunately, I felt like his character was kind of, I mean, it was kind of boring most of the time, except like, I don't know. I didn't like the father that much. And I understood the story because they had to get her out of there. You know, she had to leave somehow. I thought she was just going to sneak out, you know, and like leave some, you know what I mean? On her own somehow or whatever, and figure out a way to get out.
Prequel. Cause I think me and Derek were like laughing. We're like, hey, it'd be funny if Jen, the main character, her name's Jen, if she got pregnant and then that started the inbred people. I was like, that could have been a movie I would have watched.
Oh my God. That's a better idea than the movie.
thank you.
Well, the whole weird part was whenever he was telling the lady, if you ever escape, if the traps don't kill you, the land will. And then you have this old ass motherfucker made it to the foundation. No traps or no fucking land killed him.
Well, let's not mention the people that the dad had that knew the land and knew all the traps and was like a professional at this, and they both died within what, like 5 minutes?
Because that's what you do. You just wander off.
But somehow the dad, so the professional people who knew the traps in the area died, but the dad, the silver haired fox dad, just got through everything smoothly.
Oh, well, I don't want to know, as the bullshit of like, So they're this good community that won't do anything, but yet so maybe they do lay out all the traps for hunting and for food. Okay, I can buy that. But what about the fucking log that rolled? Like, I doubt that log was just a magical rolling log that just came.
I agree, because that Okay, so there's a couple things that piss me off about that too. Like when she's at the court, you know, and they're asking like, why, you know, what do you think we've done, right? And then she could have said, you guys, somebody sent a fucking log down to try to kill us and killed one of my friends.
Right.
So you guys are horrible people, you know, that kind of thing.
Whole ethical thing, because it was like, you know, when all the bad things were happening and that first kill happened, they were around, like we've seen it, like they were hiding behind trees. Like they saw these people in trouble and didn't help them at all. So like, how ethical is that?
And what type of ethical person would just like stand out in the middle of a fucking, like in the middle of the street and look directly inside your car?
Yeah.
And then when you're told to get away, just stare at you like they're a fucking monster, you know, like they're fucking Michael Myers.
Yeah, I felt like they instigated it all. And then honestly, you know, when Adam, when he was being dragged away or tied up like a pig on a stick, you know, and then they claimed that they were taking him to safety, I was like, if I was in that situation and I saw somebody being carried out like that, I would never think that they were being carried out to safety. Like, exactly. It looked the fire to like roast them and eat them.
Well, I agree, because I think they should have said something to those people. Mm-hmm. They should have said, like, you guys had my friend tied up like a fucking pig. What the fuck are we supposed to think?
These people, the foundation people, they all spoke English, but then like all their interactions with the people were all like in like this weird tongue. And it's like, why didn't they just talk? Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Yeah, it's like they understand English.
Yeah,
you know?
They talk.
Did they, during the trial, did the guy talk English who was in the area? I don't really remember.
Oh, no, he didn't. No. That's a good point. He did not talk whatsoever, like in English.
Yeah.
So.
But still, and like, you know what, like, you know, like, you
can
do, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can be less threatening, I think. But
I love how everybody looks like they're primals, and then the main foundation guy just has this fucking amazing hair.
Yeah, everybody else is dirty, except for him.
He's like, I'm the only one with a comb. In the land of the dirt, the man with the comb is God.
Of course, he's the one who needs the wife. You know, right. Or whatever. Like, you know, he's if he was a real leader, he would have given her to other people or somebody else. You know,
what bitch for not speaking up sooner before her friend's eyeballs got poked out? It wasn't until, oh my god, they're about to do it to my boyfriend, when she's like, hey, we can be useful members. And the friend with his eyeballs all poked out was probably like, you son of a bitch, you should have said that like 2 seconds ago.
Right, exactly. Like, you could have saved my fucking life and everything. But honestly, remember, like, she had the chance to say something about the other friend who lost his eyesight and stuff. She could have said, hey, this guy can be useful to you, you know, before too. But I have this feeling that she wouldn't have said it, because these people are like a religious group. And he was gay. Like, I feel like that's a mean thing to say, but I think that's probably what the angle was, you know, like, you know, sorry, buddy, but you're gay. I don't think you'll fit in with this Christian crowd or whatever.
So at the end, did you feel bad when he got shot? Because, I mean, the worst situation what could happen is that all he is blind. You know, like, I would rather have a choice if I was blind, whether to either get shot in the face or, hey, I think I could live my life as a blind person.
Yeah, when she was escaping and came across him, she didn't even give him, like, she didn't even talk, you know? Like, she just, like, shot. Like,
hey, you want to get out here and live life as a blind person? No, I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up, man. Like, that scene, that whole scene, and just... But I did, I am going to say, like, that scene was shot well, with them going through the like the mountains or whatever, the cave, and seeing all the people kind of walking by them. Actually, I know one of the guys, Jeremy Ambler. It plays one of the guys who is a cave dweller, I guess, that's blind person, just, you know. So it's kind of cool, I guess. I thought it was a good, I thought that was a cool looking scene, you know.
Yeah.
But see, that doesn't save the movie. I did say, like, this was shot very well, you know?
A lot of people agree that it looked very cinematic, but I mean, the story, you know, and, you know, Alan B. McElroy, the writer who also wrote the first one in Halloween 4, also Moody, he wrote a few seasons for Vampire Diaries, which I both, we, you know, we both love Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
But Alan did us dirty. He did us dirty this time.
Yeah. I can't
come for that. And I then see- the poor director, so Mike B. P. Nelson, who's like a fairly new director. He has like a few like shorts under his belt and a few features. I don't know. I don't know what his future looks like.
I'm just so happy to be given the opportunity.
You know, I feel like he didn't screw like anything up business wise, you know, for himself. So I think as long as it does enough, if it makes its budget back and whatever, you know, people will hire him. People will probably hire him just because he wrote Wrong Turn remake, you know, like I'm sure he'll get work.
I wonder if this was supposed to go to theater, because I mean, obviously it probably didn't make too much money back going direct to video, unless if it was meant to be a direct to video movie. I have no clue because of COVID. Like if it was supposed to be a theatrical run movie and they were just like, well, fuck it, this isn't going away.
I think that's probably the case, because like Wrong Turn's such a big series. You know, you would think a remake would be something that they would be like, we need to push this to the theaters. However, however, all the other movies have not gone to theaters. You know, they've usually gone direct to video. So yeah, who knows?
The quality in those movies and be like, yeah, this is not a theater movie. Like you watch Wrong Turn 1, you're like, yeah, this is theater quality. And then you watch the other ones and they look practically shot on video. And then this one, which goes back to the cinematic quality look. But then again, it's a lot easier to do that cinematic quality look with how cheap gear is these days.
All right. Let's see.
I also like how the killers didn't cannibalize people, but the victims did. I did kind of, I mean, at least we had some cannibalization, I feel like. At least there was that.
So here's, okay, I'm going to just go kind of down the line of things I wrote. So you guys can get kind of a, and then we can talk about the ones you guys want to talk about for it. But I thought the bartender looked like Chumlee from Pawn Stars. At first I was like, Chumlee got a role in a horror movie. Awesome.
Is that still alive?
Yeah, I think so. I know the was the grandpa isn't, sadly. Let's see, beautifully shot. I was writing as I go, so I was like, they made the wrong turn, huh? You know, when they decide to go down that, go the area, they say, you know, it's funny because in real life, people would probably still say, hey, even those people told us not to go that way, we'd still go that way. Generally,
I would have done it,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't, you know, I didn't get mad about that. I was like, well, it has to happen at some point. One of the gay guys died first, you know.
Although I have to say his death was really cool. Like I enjoyed his death.
I mean, that was a pretty intense scene with the log. I remember just watching that being, wow, they actually set this up really well. The log's rolling down, everybody's running. You know, or at least you think somebody's gonna get it, but which one's gonna get it? And then you just see him like, and then she's like, you think he's okay? And I'm like, nah, that dude's gonna be fucking dead. Him and his face is just So the practical effects.
Yeah, there was a few really good, like good gore kill scenes, I think.
Yeah.
There was that was off camera that was disappointing, but the ones that you saw was pretty gnarly.
Well, even that one was an off camera and you saw the aftermath, but the only one where I can really remember that you truly see all of kinda is when the guy's getting his head smashed in. They don't show the first hit, that's off camera, but the hits following that you get to see from the from when they're on trial and shit.
Yeah. So then I wrote bickering. Because that's all they, you know, a lot of times of what they did. They had tents. Like, they brought tents with them on the hike. They weren't planning to stay out there, you know? So, I didn't buy that they would just have all these, like, tents already ready for, you know? Like,
are we weren't planning to? Because I know a lot of people who do the Appalachian Trail. I mean, it's a really long trail, and most people who do hike it do end up camping.
Well, I only say I don't think they plan to, because they were acting like, oh no, now it's getting dark, we got to find a place to, you know, right? And I think, you know, I don't think they were planning to. I think they were planning to go back to their hotel after they were done. But you might be right. They might have been planning to. I saw that and I was like automatically like rolling my eyes going, okay, they already have tents, you know, here. Like, it just didn't seem real, you know, to me.
Then the next morning, the lady went out to pee and she never came back. But then you find out she really went to pee.
I don't buy that either. I didn't like that. I almost kind of thought that she was in on it. Like, I thought they, at least my take, I was like, something ain't right with that lady. And I thought maybe she was like involved somehow, because like, if you're a girl and you're going to pee, you're not going to be going out of here, like here shot. Like, you're going to pee somewhere kind of close. So
honestly, I mean, I guess other than the fact that they thought she got killed, you know, there was no point to her being gone, right?
And like, moral fucking bullshit. Like, if these guys were such good people, why do they sneak into their tent and steal all their goddamn cell phones?
Yeah.
Like, they're morally good. Like, oh, we're making this.
Whatever happened?
Huh?
Whatever happened to their cell phones?
They got stolen at night.
I know, but they never showed it. Like, it never became a thing later. Like, they never said anything about it. They never, I mean, it's never even brought up again. Like,
a cabin that had a lot of, like, old sunglasses and stuff, which was, like, one of the only nods to the original Wrong Turn. So maybe they ended up in there.
But the cell phones being gone just proves that they're fucking there to like fuck with them. They weren't there to help them. They weren't like, because that's another thing you could bring up during the thing. Like, hey, they killed our friend. They stole our cell phones. Right. We're out here with nothing. And then we see them carrying our friend away.
Well,
it was literally self-defense.
Plus, in the very beginning, before they even go on the hike, Jen runs into the little girl and then the little girl's mom or whatever. And then she was really nice to them. So, I mean, you know, they had a nice interaction of like, so that established Jen being like, you know, a decent person, I felt like, but that all went out the window.
Well, right. So that whole thing kind of like also annoyed me, because like, wait, she's a member of the town, but she's also a member of the foundation. So that means that she leaves the foundation and goes out there and sells.
Like, that didn't make sense. They wouldn't just be hanging out in town.
Yeah, nobody would buy their shit if they were hanging. They'd fucking be like, being like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be in town. They're not supposed to leave the foundation, I thought.
Yeah.
So
saying that they had a little pact, right? Like, the townies don't mess with them and they don't mess with the townies. They stay in the woods and the townies stay in town. So
exactly. Well, apparently they don't, you know, right. Because also that one guy said that he was over at the car. Remember they saw the guy at the car and they threw the bottle at him and everything. That was one of the, you know, so they were fucking with them from the very beginning before they kidnapped them. So meaning, and I have this theory. I don't know who was the one who told her, I guess it was that one lady said, don't go off the trail.
It was the innkeeper.
Right. So don't go off the trail. So, I mean, I have this feeling she was in on it somehow or whatever, because even though she talked to the father and helped the father, whatever, she might have been in on the whole thing, period. You know, trying to get all these people captured, because she told them not to go off the trail. And of course, what are you going to do when somebody tells you not to do something, period? You know, right? What do you expect people to do?
I just don't see why they couldn't just be like, hey, there's some fucking crazy ass people who live in the woods and they set up traps, and or just be like, hey, there's a bunch of hunting traps everywhere. Just don't get off the trail because you might get
killed. I don't think this was a movie. I think when they were writing this, they weren't writing it to make sense. They were writing a movie.
Well, I'd be like, hey, I'd just be like straight, hey, there's a bunch of hunters. You step off the trail, you get a trap and lose a leg or lose a life. Like, just don't do it. Boom. There you go. They'll be like, oh my God, there's traps out there. Let's not fucking get our leg caught in a bear trap.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I wouldn't want to go someplace where I knew that I could be in danger, you know, But they just said, don't go off to the woods, which just means people are like, that lady said, don't go in the wood, don't go off that trail. And then, you know, they're like, oh, well, if she just said, just don't go off the trail, you know, like, I'm just going to go off the trail, you know, like, why not? Because they did even say they went to the mountain, you know, and stuff like that, which I think was off the trail, you know. So they were just went the different way that, you know, happened to have traps and logs and other shit coming after them.
Yeah, I do remember when Jen's boyfriend, that Darius guy, he did, you know, reference wanting to be a member of this, because he did say that he wanted to create a place for everybody, that everybody, you know, all races, cultures, diversity, like everybody could just belong to a community, and like money didn't matter. And so, you know, in the end he got what he wanted. I mean, he also got his girlfriend fucking, you know, father, father Eden or some shit. Like, I don't think that was in his plan, but hey.
You know, what were you going to say, Derek?
I just was mocking and being like, I just want to live in a community where people, you know, get along off the merits of their own, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. The boyfriend was a dick, because, like, seriously, actually, both of them were dicks, the girl, because, I mean, she agreed to, like, basically father this guy's children instead of be with her, you know, whatever, like, survive with her boyfriend. And then the boyfriend decides to stay there because, you know, he wants to belong or something or whatever.
They see me as who I really am.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you can stay with these fucking weird people.
Yeah. So another thing that really fucking pissed me off, and this happened toward the end, there's two things that pissed me off. First of all, the really fucking cool scene where she goes and kills the guy or whatever in the fucking kitchen. I wanted that to be real. You know, I was like, that's a badass way to end the movie. Just do that.
Where the dies and everything. Yeah, that was pretty. All right.
Yeah. Then it cuts to it being just a dream. And I'm like, you fucking pieces of shit. You're already pissing me off like halfway all the way through the movie.
They were showing what would happen if she were to fight back. We've seen that in a couple of other films. But I mean, it's still dumb, but like, I get what they were going for at least.
Right. I thought it was, literally her thinking about it. Cause like they say something to her like, hey, and it really annoyed me because he literally says like word for word what it said in the dream or whatever, the thought of what would happen. And so if they were literally showing what she was thinking, there's no way she could have predicted him to actually say some of this stuff, you know,
maybe a timeline, like in multiverse A that happened and then multiverse B.
I think we're giving Alan B. McElroy too much credit here.
Well, that's the second universe. Alan A. McElroy is the first universe. Where he wrote a good movie.
I just think he sat down and wrote, and like then at the end where there's all these like loose ties that didn't make sense, and he's like, oh, fuck it. He's like, I already got people's money at this point.
They've already, like, it's like, we've accepted your script. Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the end, like, okay, so when that fake ending happened, I was already checked out of this movie. And so I felt like the ending just kept going on and on and on. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, when is this movie going to end? I couldn't wait for it to end.
I thought it was ending whenever they were driving away drinking moonshine. And it's like, wait a second, there's like 30 minutes left. The fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was really fucking pissed. Did you guys watch the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the way after the credits roll.
Yeah, when it smashed.
What?
You mean whenever the car smashed into the...
Again?
The Winnebago smashed, and then they got out.
They do it again, the same exact scene. And I was, like, thinking, okay, wait, is this, like, a alternate reality thing of, like, that maybe it's somebody actually lived or something? But the way I saw it, I don't know if it was the way you guys saw it when you guys rented it, but like the crash happens again. because the credits happen, the credits roll, right? And then we see the whole scene of her kill the people, hold on to the girl's hand, walk, you know, toward 20 and 20 minutes of like walking and credits and shit. And I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm hoping somebody's going to come up and like get up or something, you know, like maybe she didn't kill one of the guys, you know, right? Nothing happens, right? So I'm like, wait a minute, there's still like three more minutes left, you know, right after that. So I fast forward to that part and they show the crash again. They show the whole thing happen again, like her come out with no sound whatsoever. I could not hear any sound. And then she walks away with the girl. And then it leaves for another like 3 minutes or like couple minutes. And it's like literally nothing. It's the same fucking scene except no sound.
That's weird. I didn't see that. I fast forwarded too, and the movie just ended after the credits.
Maybe it was a fuck up.
It must have been a fuck up.
I'm about to put it on right quick and see if that happens because I didn't see that
at
all.
What did you buy it on?
Vudu.
Okay. I don't know. I bought it on Google Play, and that's what happened.
Because what happened when I watched it is the thing happened, the credits rolled, and then I also fast-forwarded because I was like, okay, is there anything that happens? That's like, oh, nothing happens. Okay.
Yeah, I was weird because, like, I was going, okay, maybe this, you know, I thought maybe it was a fuck-up, like, whatever. Like, maybe, I was like, maybe it's just the same, it's going to be the credits, and they don't show the credits or the sound at all. And I'm like, was this some kind of weird thing? Like at the end that they're going to have something jump out and say, ah, you know, and it would be like, you know, this is really what's going to happen next. We're wrong turn two, you know, but no, yeah. Nothing happened, you know,
maybe so. It was Google Play. Fuck. I don't know. We're waiting for it to load in the background right now. And we're about to check it out.
If there is, let me know.
I couldn't wait for it to end. So bad. And like I read a lot of like a lot of my friends on Facebook who've seen it. I mean,
I feel
like,
yeah,
some people were like just talking up about this movie and how much they loved it, and I was like, like, I don't know.
Somebody, I was listening to somebody's review on YouTube, and they were saying the first half of the movie was terrible, you know, but once they got to the, like the foundation, all that stuff, they felt like that half was written by somebody else or something, and it was a much better movie. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is terrible, you know, like even the ending, like, and you know me, I almost like everything. I try to find the positive. I try to pipe positivity out of everything, and I just could not for this movie. Like, sorry, Alan McElroy or whatever your name is.
Yeah. I'm curious if they set it up for a sequel though, because I know, you know, that Ruthie, I think that was her name, right? The little girl Ruthie. If they're gonna like try to come back for her, or if like that Darius is gonna be like the new leader and he's gonna like come back and, you know, for the second one and be like the evil guy.
I honestly no.
So well, we I say
go ahead.
What did you say, Derek?
We just fast forwarded to the end. Yeah, it doesn't happen again. She just walks out once.
Oh man, I wish I could show you guys. I think I could. Hold on. Well, we could chat. You guys chat about stuff. I'm gonna see if I can actually show it. You know,
it has to just be a fuck up. Is like it's not. It's definitely not happened here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. You know, I'll you know what? I'll just take a video of it and show it to you guys later, and everything.
Yeah, because he says our length is 1 hour 50 minutes and 10 seconds.
With mine is an hour and 56 minutes.
What? That's weird.
That's fucking strange. Yeah.
Well, what's yours rated? Did I get like the rated R version?
No, I mean I don't know. Mine's just the I didn't even look at the rating. You might have got, I don't know.
Yeah, but mine's, I wonder if there's like a, or maybe that's just how long the fuck up is.
I think that's how long the fuck up is. Like, remember I said, like, I thought it was 3 minutes, but I think there was a lot more than that. Like, it just pissed me off. I was like waiting for something to happen. And I'm like, I got to go to fucking bed, man. Like, this is already late enough. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to sit here and watch this stupid shit more than I have to, you know, but yes. I wanted to talk about it all. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I stayed around and watched that bit because, you know, I guess I got to fuck up and you guys didn't.
I'm mad that I paid for it to fucking own. Now I just have this movie I own that I'm fucking like.
You know, that being said, though, if they did make a second one and then Darius came back as like the evil guy and they were like, you know, coming back to get Ruthie, I mean, I'd still watch it. I mean, there's that.
I would give it a try, but I honestly, I almost feel like this movie, if it doesn't do well enough, and a lot of it might be because of COVID, you know, if it doesn't do very well, it may not get a sequel, you know, right now, at least not now. They might wait a few more years and try to do another remake and be like, oh, well, they all want inbred mutants or whatever, which that pissed me off, man. So they put that line in there, you know. What? As a nod to the original, but also as like a joke and saying, ha ha ha, we fucked you over. You don't get that.
Right. Whatever. What was it? They said, so what movie did you rent tonight? I don't know. Just a bunch of cannibal inbreds or whatever.
And then the guy goes, again, you know? And I'm like, oh, fuck. You know?
I watched. What was the one with the snow and they're like in the snow, they're trapped at like the ski lodge or something. I don't know.
It was a Wrong Turn. I want to say this Wrong Turn 6. I could be wrong.
I would rather like any one of them.
Even over like this one.
Reboot or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's got to be a reboot because like it's not even a remake, you know? Like they didn't. Not
the last one. The last one was a reboot, I believe.
That's a sequel, right?
I don't know. I heard people call it a reboot, so
It's gotta be a sequel if it has like number 7 on it. You know, like the only way to me, the only way it's a reboot or a remake is if it actually has like just the title of the movie, right?
It's so hard to keep track with things these days because I feel like it just keeps changing and they just want to do whatever they want to do. But I enjoyed the last one. I mean, it stuck to the roots and I enjoyed it. Like this movie, if it was called any other movie, I may have liked it.
No, I thought that too at first, but it reminded me way too much of Midsommar for me to go, you know what, this I would like this movie because it just felt like a ripoff of that. And I didn't remember we had that review. I didn't like Midsommar either. You know?
I still have burnt images in my head. So it's like, even though I didn't like it, it was still impactful, I guess. So, I mean, I guess I can appreciate that. But
I thought the cinematography in Midsommar and remember, there's a part where a person like fell off a cliff or whatever and just you hear the like the thud and everything and the way it looked and everything looked real to me, you know, like that shit to me was a lot better than this movie, even though they had some really cool deaths. You know, the log rolling was really awesome. The scenes with the guy, one of the guys, beating the shit out of the one guy. That was cool. Like they had some cool special effects and gore, but like all in all, it needed a better story, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, we do ratings on here, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we, what are you guys rating it? I think, what is that? Out of 5 stars?
You do the A, B, C.
A, B, C. Okay. Okay. I'm going to give it a D minus. What are you going to give it, Sam?
So I'm going to give it an F because I don't ever plan on watching it again. I mean, I enjoy bad horror movies. I enjoy them. There's a place for them. I don't rate all bad horror movies an F, but I do rate movies that I don't plan to ever think about or ever watch again. Right. So that's that movie. So I give it an F.
All right, what about you?
5 out of 5. I mean, so 3 out of 10. I mean, the only because it has some cool gore parts. And I kind of like the idea of the ethical route, even though it makes no fucking sense, because why the fuck would they roll the log down there? Why would they just watch if they were planning on freeing him? And why would they steal their cell phones? It's just too big of fucking, I don't know, plot holes, I guess, or things they didn't think of. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense if you're trying to go the ethical route. Because we get it. They're outsiders. They're judging they're judging everybody, including the entire town. The entire town's judging them.
I mean, it could have been a different movie if they would have stuck to if they would have not had all the plot holes. Like, it could have been good, maybe.
Yeah, because I thought that would have been a cool little interesting. It's an interesting idea. Showing that people we view as monsters view us as the monster, and no party is either right or wrong. But they did not do that in this movie. Mm-hmm. Instead, fucking, they were sentencing the dead to darkness just for being there. Like, what the fuck ethical shit is that?
If I were them, and because if they got him for trespassing, you know, right? Normally, when you get trespassing, you just get like a slap on the wrist, you know.
Right.
But in this thing, it's like you're sentenced to darkness forever, you know, and shit like that. And I'm just like, really? Like,
are any no trespassing signs though?
Fuck
yeah.
Because how are they trespassing? I mean, nothing was marked.
Mm-hmm.
There was no trespassing signs.
Another thing I forgot to mention earlier that really pissed me off is. They mention if they like the land doesn't get them, the animals will too at the end.
If the traps don't get you, the land will.
And then if the land doesn't get you, the animals will. I think that's what they said at one point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where was the fucking animals at? And the old man was easily walked to the foundation and walked back home. If a fucking old man can do it, anybody can.
Yeah, there were no animals, and that was another thing that really pissed me off. For a thing that has all these hunting and stuff, you would think you would see at least one deer or something there, you know, that they're coming after. There was nothing. There's no wild animals. There's no anything that you saw, and so it was just sort of, you know.
Well, then also they said their people were pure and they had like no cancer and stuff. I was thinking, how do you know you don't have cancer? I mean, they don't have like. Not like it's a medical center where they have like actual tests. Like, I just didn't understand that either. It's almost like the whole Nazis and pure white people, like, I don't exist anymore. Like, you can't that nobody didn't have cancer or didn't have some sort of disease that didn't like wasn't symptomatic.
I sentence this movie to the darkness.
I sentence it too. There you go.
I felt bamboozled. I didn't like. Actually, I thought it was one of the worst movies I've seen all year until I watched Monster Hunters last night.
I like Monster Hunter a lot more than fucking this.
Think you only like it because it's a video game movie, which I did not know going in. Somebody kept me in the dark about that. I thought it was god awful.
I guess, are we going to save that for another preview, or are we going to just talk? You don't even want to. We'd have to rewatch it again.
Yeah.
we'll find something else.
Not the worst movie I have seen all year.
it's still the worst movie I've seen all year.
It's so far for me, yes, too. I've been watching a lot of movies lately, you know, because I've been doing not just like Indie Film Cafe, but I've been doing, you know, quick Review Thursday and. You know, all the 31 days of indie horror, you know what I mean? Like, I've been doing all these different videos, and I'm watching a lot of movies on Tubi, and some of them are pretty bad. This is probably one of the worst that I've seen.
Watch Tubi movies also. We just put Tubi on in the background while doing something else.
Yeah, no, I get it. I guess we can talk about what we all been up to lately, you know, and everything. You guys, what's going on with my girlfriend, the serial killer? Are you guys shooting anything?
We're just killing some pre-production things. Actually, last night we started to make some face casts. So
nice. I saw those. Those are awesome.
Yeah, we got to get it out now. It's set up overnight, so now I just need to get it out, polish it up, prime it.
Nice.
Work on some special effects.
Sweet. I'm excited.
Yeah, I did too. We're just, you know, playing it safe with this whole COVID crap. Like, you know, it's just, it's hard because it's like with the vaccination coming, it's like kind of a moral discussion is, do you have people only on your set, you know, that is vaccinated, or do you just stick to the whole having them test every day? Like, it's just, you know, it's a political topic almost these days. So.
And I guarantee the virus doesn't give a shit what politics you follow.
So it's hard. So we're kind of waiting for things to die down a little bit. Also for locations, you know, COVID has made a lot of locations more pricier or not even able to get to. So we just don't want to rush and sacrifice the quality and like the vision of like how we see my girlfriend turning out. Also the safety of the cast, the crew, you know, our kids. We have small kids that can't get vaccinated, and you know, we're gonna both be very busy, so we're gonna have to hire somebody to come in and watch the kids, and it's like, well, you know, we don't want to risk them getting, you know, like it's just a concern.
And there's costs that you don't even think of. He is like, you know, normally before COVID, you just stick everybody in an Airbnb and they'd all live in the Airbnb together. And, you know, and then like, but now it's like, so now you have to factor in the cost. We can't do that because of COVID. So we have to give probably everybody a hotel room. And then that just brings up the cost to like astronomical amounts where it's like, holy shit, like we can't even make a film for this budget until like people are vaccinated. And we can get them in like an Airbnb together.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's tough right now at this particular moment. And it kind of sucks that like literally you guys were like prepping and getting ready for last year for it to happen. And then COVID fucking hit. And then, you know, and that makes it fucking difficult. So
right. I remember when COVID first hit, I remember thinking like, oh, it'll, you know. It'll only be for a couple weeks.
I hope this is over in 2 weeks. I remember saying that. And then it's like, no. Well, maybe in a month's time. No, here we are a year later.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have broken down our scripts a lot. And we plan on shooting it in, like, different segments to kind of keep it, like, as safe as possible. So that's what we're working on right now. Just getting, which there's a lot of moving pieces if you're going to do it that way. So we're just getting everything prepped and planned out. And
we you know, me, a little bit
thoroughly thought through. I'm like the type A personality where, you know, control freak.
Oh, I know. So. I know how you are. So.
Yeah. So we got to make sure we got all of our ducks in a row here.
Exactly.
You know, we don't want to just rush and put out just some piece of garbage. Like, you know, this is our baby. Like, we want it to be the best it can be. So.
And it's still a very, very fucking low budget. Like, it is super low. So that's why we have to wait till people are vaccinated so we can at least do the Airbnb. Because if every individual gets a hotel room, we'll like have no money for effects or anything else.
Yeah. We start shooting on Friday for our Echo Lake Universe shit. So we got a lot of stuff going on there. We got two shorts that are shooting back to back, and we're doing the COVID. You know, we've got Paul bought a temperature, one of the, you know, the one the shooting one that they don't touch. Nobody has to actually put it in their mouth, which is good. You know, you don't. And then, we got, masks, and we've got, you know, we've got tons of, you know, hand sanitizers and others, you know what I mean? We've got, first aid kits, everything. So we're definitely doing what we can to make sure everybody is taken care of and everybody's in a hotel, and, hopefully things will get, you know, things will go smoothly. But I mean, today, I mean, for shorts, it's different than like a feature length film where you're doing it like for days on end and everything. And I mean, anybody could get COVID at any time, you know, everything.
Plus, well, right. We kind of like, even like bringing people in and just having them test when they get here. It's like, well, geez, you fly somebody in, they come here, they test positive. It's like, what is, so you got to send them back. I mean, you know, there's just so many variables that could go wrong and ruin your shoot pretty much.
I agree. It's a crapshoot because you just don't know. Somebody could get COVID the day before they come out to do it. You know, when I did, I did a few, I was an extra on some like Lifetime movies and stuff. And when I would go out there, I would have to get tested like 3 days before the shoot or whatever. And so that, or 2 days before the shoot, then it would come back like the next day or so. And let, you know, and, but that doesn't mean that in those 2 days that I'm going there, I could pick it up at any time. So exactly. It's such a, you know, so then they have the people doing the temperatures and they do temperature checks every like 6 hours or whatever, you know, making sure. And that's what we're planning to do is every 6 hours, checking everybody's temperature just to make sure. And it's just, it's scary now, you know, because you just don't know. And then on top of that, there's issues with flying and other things, having people come out from other places. So it's just, it's always a scary thing. But I mean, for me, it's a couple short films. People are in and out, you know, hopefully that's not going to be too bad. You know what I mean? But like I said, you never know. Like, and so you just got to prepare for anything that can happen.
Right. You got to prepare for like 5 different scenarios in your head.
Oh yeah. And it's like, I'm already getting stressed out, you know, being a filmmaker, like producing, you know what I mean? Like making sure everything is ready. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Cause like we don't have the budget. So, you know, like we're producer, director, set designer, costume, you know, like we like are a caterer, like we're everything.
Uh-huh.
One person drops out, you have to like, fucking come up with something quick, either find a replacement or find a way where that character just gets axed out of the script.
Yeah. That just happened to us. Somebody had to back out of our movie and out of 2 shorts, you know, you had a part in 2 shorts. And I'm just like, and he was going to be the production assistant on the shoot. So I'm like, now I've got to find a production assistant. I've got to find 2 characters, you know, that fit there. I still got to do that, but it's fine because I mean, you know, we'll figure it out. You know, that's kind of my motto is we'll figure it out, you know, like it will get figured out. If it's not me, it's Paul. If it's not Paul, it's Joe. If it's not Joe, somebody will step in and handle it. You know,
yeah, I've done a movie where somebody dropped out the day of. So I just ended up making those 2 characters into 1 character. So
sort of what happened to me during the Sasquatch vs. Yeti promo that I did, somebody got into a car wreck and the night before, and she was in the hospital. And as she got out of the hospital, she said, I'm not going to be able to make it, you know? And I was like, crap, what am I going to do? So my idea was I could just give everybody like different lines or whatever, you know, like switch it up. But I just ended up, I was lucky that somebody else, April Kroll, was able to step in at the last minute, you know, and fill that shoe. So, I mean, that's the beauty of asking friends, you know, if like, hey, are you busy today? No. All right, come on out. You know, it's a Saturday, you know.
About to see my face mold soon. It's not, we got to peel off the outer part.
I mean, I know nobody else can. Here, boom. It's Derek.
Now let me take a picture of that.
Like, so the outside might not look good, but it's all because of what's on the inside.
That's and cool.
So did you take it? Yeah,
I took the picture.
So inside, build it up.
Look at
so
that.
Yeah. See, it's the plaster's in here. So once we're off this, I'm going to take this off and then get it all polished up. And then
that's,
we're
going to so cool.
Our molds.
That is awesome. I'm very excited for you guys. You know, I know you guys, it's been a labor of love.
YouTube is what I just watched a video how to do this on YouTube. So nice. You know.
So if it turns out good, we can make face molds and smash them and shit.
You could do the thing of what that they did with Wrong Turn. You're gonna have like, you know, molds made and then have them be beaten to death or whatever, bludgeoned.
You know? Yeah. So we got a few designs that I want to test out. You know, I got my little palettes and our bloods and all.
So that's Derek. That's Derek's face.
Yeah, this is Derek.
All right, so the outside might not look like it, but on the inside, it's the exact copy of my face.
You might not be able to tell, but it is pretty detailed. I mean, you got his, like, chin that sticks out, and you got his lips.
I guess I never ever see him without his glasses. Put your glasses on. Yeah, there's Derek.
Yeah, actually, there's some of Derek's facial hair that's in here.
That's funny. Oh, I love it.
And Vaseline thing, but it still took some of his hairs out.
It's probably because I just shaved, so my hair is really pointy. And when we were trying to take it off, like my lip was like my hair on my, you know, my mustache shit was getting stuck on. I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh god, we had to yank the fuck out of that to get it off.
I'll have to put this on the YouTube page, just this part right here and everything, because I know this is a podcast, but the this part of you talking about that stuff deserves to be seen by everybody.
Well, it's nice to know too that, you know, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, you can't do something, but it's like, you can do anything you want to do as long as you like put forth the time and effort to learn something, you know? And then
practice.
So
I had a discussion with somebody the other day about the fact that as a filmmaker, you know, and Derek, you probably will agree with me on this, really, because you shouldn't be like the director, the writer, the producer, the editor, and the DP unless you know what you're doing with those other things, right? Like you can go on YouTube and learn how to edit maybe, but you're probably not going to be a polished editor like somebody like you, Derek. You know, you're a polished editor. You know what you're fucking doing. You've been doing it for so long. But I see all these movies. We watch them on Indie Film Cafe or whatever, and they're directed and also shot and also edited and also, and they look like crap and they're terrible. And I'm like, just give people like jobs, like, you know, like put the extra money in, hire a decent DP, hire a decent editor, and make a good movie, you know, like a better movie than what you can make on your own.
Right.
And half the time, like hiring me, it doesn't cost that fucking much. It's like, or hiring somebody else, and it's just like, it doesn't cost that much and your film will look immensely better.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But a lot of people, people don't want to put the extra cash into it or whatever. They just want to do it themselves.
Like, I mean, I get it. I that's how I started. I wanted to make my own movie. I wanted to direct movies, and I didn't know who the fuck shot movies. So I just learned how to shoot movies. And so I became a cinematographer on fucking total accident just because I wanted to make my own movies.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Now you're making your own movies too, you know? You know, as well.
Why there's so much trash in Indieland. It's just because it's like people are just they just want to, like, I don't know what they want to do. They just want to have so many titles under their name for like the instant gratification of like, oh hey, look, I got this movie out. But like, they don't seem to care that the movie is garbage. Like I don't want to produce garbage. I don't want to just be known for like getting all these movies out. I want to be known for having like a good movie.
I want to be known for my movies. Actually, I mean, even though like it's still indie, I want to be on the upper tier of indie where it looks decent. I don't want to be these people who make movies in 4 days just to make a movie, and it pretty much just looks like I jerked off with my camera and made just fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing a lot of pictures where things are not even lit and like just, and then people are sharing like footage and it just looks like god awful, but everybody's like super proud of it and they're all circle jerking, and I'm like if that's what you want to do, that's fine, but I at least want to make something where, I don't know, somebody who didn't work on it could like watch it and appreciate it.
Well, also, I mean, it goes to a thing of like, I also, and you know, if a movie does come out like crap, you know, you're not proud of it necessarily. You think it looks bad or something like that. And you still put it out because, you know, you made it and it does, you know, sometimes movies just deserve to be seen, you know what I mean? Even if it's not great. Still, if somebody tells you how to do it better, you know, don't be like, oh, I'm the greatest director of all time. Exactly. You know,
one thing it's always commendable finishing your projects and getting it out there. The one thing, I mean, while I might be like talking shit about people who make bad movies, at least they're fucking finishing them and putting them out there. I can't stand people who shoot their films and then they never end up editing them, or they never end up finishing them. Like, it's like, at least fucking, if you're gonna make a movie, at least you owe it to everybody who worked on it to at least edit it and put it out there.
I'll say that. And you know what? That's what I'm doing right now with Echo Lake. Is Echo Lake's been, and you know, a lot of it's been shot back in 2011. You know, that's a long ass time. And I'm like, it's fucking time. Let me go get an opening, get an ending to it, and fucking finish it as a short. You know, at least it gets done. People can see it. If it's not the strongest piece, because I made it 10 years ago when I was still sort of new, you know, and everything. And you'll get to see Baby John, you know, as an actor or whatever, you know, like, it's funny, you know, to me to go like, look back and go, you know what? I'm setting it in 2011. I'm making it my movie, but I'm getting it fucking finished. And just because, like, I'm just the same way as you guys. I want to see things get finished. It just might take me. I mean, it took me way too fucking long, but, you know, I mean, whatever. At least it's getting done. You know what I mean?
And I mean, it's a fine line of like bringing it back to what you said about like, if somebody's like offering like advice to help people and they're, you know, somebody's like, well, fuck you. Like, I know what I'm doing. I mean, that just brings it back to the whole support issue. It's like, you know, yeah, we should support each other, but that also entails like, you know, accepting help and accepting like positive criticism and constructive, you know, like, all of that entails in that. So like, all the people that are like, oh, let's support each other, all the same people that don't want to listen to anybody.
Well, the one thing I will say is if you don't ask for criticism, like, I hate it when somebody tells me what's wrong with my movies if I'm not asking them, because I've edited them. I know, like, everything you're about to say, I know what's wrong with it.
Yeah, but you're an editor, though.
I was shooting. Yeah.
You're an actual editor.
And most of the time it's because, and this is for other people's movies too. Most of the time you just don't have enough time on set to do everything that you need to do. Because you have limited days, you have all these people, a lot of moving parts, and you just have to get it done by the end of the day. So a lot of the times people are going to be like, well, I would have done all these angles. I'm like, oh, that's cool. How would you come up with the magical 5 extra hours to do that in a day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, if somebody's not asking for a criticism, unless if you're reviewing it, that's different. But just to like come up to somebody's inbox and be like, hey, this was all fucked up. It's like, dude, yeah, I know, I was there. I shot it, I've edited it. I don't think of my stuff as being perfect. I know where the flaws are and I know exactly where they are.
Oh, I agree. Like, you know, it's funny to read these reviews and then I'm like thinking, I mean, sometimes like a Scary Story Slumber Party, people give me reviews all the time and on like Amazon or, you know, on Letterboxd, whatever. Right. And I read them and I'm like, you know, like, I mean, I get it because I was there. I directed those segments or whatever. I know which ones worked better and which ones didn't work as well as I was hoping they would, you know, but you know what? I fucking made a movie. What have you done? You know, right. You watch movies, you know.
Well, reviewers I'm fine with just because, you know, like, fucking, I got a letterbox. I shit talk movies all the time. I'm fine with that. But it's just when people DM me about it, it's like, yeah. You know, what's wrong with it?
Oh, God. Yeah. I had a critic and he was an actual critic on online. He sent me a message about my short and told me exactly what I should change and that I should basically get extra money to go and reshoot it to change a couple lines of dialogue that he, you know, And I'm like, I'm not fucking gonna do that. You know, I liked it.
I'll gladly do it.
There's one thing that I hate. I was watching these reviewers and they were reviewing Party Night, which is an extremely flawed movie, shot, executed, edited. It was extremely flawed, but his problem was that none of the actors were nude in it. And that sort of, like, that made me a little bit like, I was like, well, fuck this guy. Like, these are, like, actual people you're talking about. Not fucking, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, objects of your desire. Right. They're these actual people. And if you want nudity, like, in my opinion, like, Hollywood movies aren't even doing nudity anymore. If you want nudity, you got the fucking internet. Like, you come watch our films for the fucking gore, the excessive gore, and the kills. You know, we're not making it for you to fucking get your rocks off. And think about it whenever you're like, why isn't anybody showing their tits? Like, you're talking about actual people. You're not talking about fucking, like, yeah, objects. These are actual real people you're talking about.
Yeah,
I didn't have to say that.
No, well, somebody said that in a review, and I was just him. Like, what an asshole. Like, because I worked with all these people, and, like, you know, these are, like, they have personalities, dreams, hopes, ambitions, and morals, and, you know, we don't want to make a film that's full of nudity.
Well, okay, so there's a difference, like, okay, so what, and I know you're, you know, Sam, you're stance on nudity is bad, you know, like, you don't like it, you don't want, like, nudity, whatever, but if the movie does have nudity in it or whatever, like, say a movie did have a call for nudity and an actress already signed up to do the role knew that there was nudity and said they would not do it, would you guys be mad about that? Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
that's why I shoot the nude scene first, that way it's out the way. Because once you shoot other scenes and then the nude scene happens and they change their mind, it's like, well, fuck, now you're our actors because you've already done all these other scenes.
Right. No, I get it. But yeah, so, I mean, it's those things. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff when it comes to horror films. I mean, I don't think horror films need nudity, but, you know, mostly I make PG-13 style horror films anyway, you know, so there's generally no nudity in most of my stuff anyway, you know, or whatever, you know. And I know, Sam, you fucking hate it, you know, you think it's there's, well, no,
I hate being my inbox is full of hey, we're interested in you for a movie, and then the second one is, hey, are you comfortable with being naked? It's like,
I mean, I guess at least they're up front besides playing.
But that's all they're looking around for. They're not looking for an actress. They're looking for a pair of tits. And that's my problem, is you could be the worst actress in the world, but if you'll get naked, you're their girl. I don't want to be like that. I want to be known for being an actual good actor, not the willingness to be naked.
I get it. I mean, and it's got to be awkward anyway. Like, your kids fucking see these movies and stuff, you know? Like,
well, I know sexist thing. I mean, I know there's some nudity, like male nudity, but, like, I'm pretty sure. How many times have somebody contacted you, Moody, and for a role, not anything personal, and, you know, I was like, hey, can we see your dick? Like, probably none.
None.
Exactly.
You know,
It's demeaning, it's degrading, and I don't like it. And I don't like when I have, like, fellow peers that are coming to me, you know, saying that, oh, they want to get a boob job because they hope to get, like, you know, better roles. What? Take an acting class. Don't get a boob job. Like, I don't understand the mentality of that.
The best thing that ever happened with me is, like, I was on the set of Bite School, right? We were doing it in a hotel, and there was supposed to be, like, a scene where I was with an actress who was a hooker, you know, right? And character and stuff. And James Balsamo looks at me and goes, are you comfortable with being, like, in your boxers? And I was like, yeah, but nothing more. He goes, don't worry, nobody wants to see that.
No.
And, you know,
like a double standard, I get it. I mean, I don't know why that is, but, I mean, yeah, as a female, I don't want to see a floppy dick flopping around on screen.
Well, right. We'll always dumber.
I mean, honestly, that was more, seeing his bloody dick flopping around was more horror for me than watching the old people like plummet off of the cliff and dying.
I will say though, like sometimes whenever you say like nudity is never needed, I say that scene, it was okay because it showed like, I don't know, just the artistic way that was telling it and the just the grossness of it.
Well, no, I mean, if it's called for, you know what I mean? Like if it's like, if nudity is something that is actually called for in the movie, but like indie films, a lot of it is, okay, sex sells. So we're going to put in.
It's expected.
What?
People just, it was like that one review guy. He's like, the movie could have been really great, but since there was no boobs in it, he was like, nope.
Well, what's weird is that he was friends with one of the actresses. And was talking about, oh, she was great. Once she died, the movie was over. By the way, where's the tits? Like, do you think that you're, I don't know. I just don't get it. Like, these are actual actors and people. Like, I guess whenever you watch a movie, you don't think of it like that. But it's like, okay, so, like, just watch fucking porn. We try to make entertaining blood slasher films.
I have an actress I'm friends with who gets nonstop messages of guys because she doesn't put, like, relationship statuses on there or whatever. She doesn't, you know, right? Because that's what a lot of the women do. And then all of a sudden she gets nonstop guys, like, hitting her up, saying these nasty things to her because she does horror films, you know, and stuff. And this has got to stop. You know, people have got to stop treating, you know, horror actors or actresses like shit, you know?
It's not going to stop until us women demand it to stop, though. It's not going to stop until you have all of the females who actively just willy-nilly getting naked for no reason. It's not going to stop until we all come together and stop it.
What's weird is, like, you see, like, I saw this one trailer. And this lady's just walking through a field and then takes her top off for no fucking reason. Like it's like, what in the point of the story is that?
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Oh,
yeah. Actually, the funny thing is what we were going back and forth about a scene in our movie. And we decided that we had to do it differently because it was going to be the actress was going to be in a bathtub and like, we wanted to see more of the scene, but we couldn't because she was in a bathtub and therefore there would be nudity. And we were like, no, like we got to figure out something else. So, I mean, if you're consciously trying to write a movie where nudity isn't like the key thing, like you can do it. It just takes like a brain and like a thought process and like
it takes creativity.
Just writing. Yeah. Like writing an story. Like,
I'm sorry, but in real life, you know, people aren't just naked, you know, or whatever, you know, like, and like, it just like, it doesn't make any, a lot of times these movies, these horror films have like these characters that just get naked randomly, you know, and it's because sex sells. Like I tried to Scary Story Slumber Party has no nudity in it whatsoever. I tried to sell it to distributor. They said it doesn't have nudity. I can't sell it. And I was like, really? Is that like the only thing people buy from your catalog is just because it has nudity?
Apparently. I mean,
it's ridiculous. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'd be a problem. If there was like a strong story, you know, if it was like a good movie, I firmly believe that it does not need nudity to sell as long as you're, you know, the writing is solid.
Well, even a bad movie, it still doesn't need nudity.
Yeah,
because I mean, I argue that like nudity is natural, and like while it is a natural thing to be naked, it's not natural to see other people naked. So I wish people would, you know, like that's how it is. Like you're just not used to walking around seeing dicks and boobs just flopping all around. Like that isn't natural. Like that part isn't natural. Just seeing other people naked.
Yeah, I agree.
For me, out of it.
Unless you're at a nudist colony all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, go for it. Nudist beach, like whatever. Like, I mean, I'm not saying like don't be naked. It's just like for me personally, it takes me out of the mood that I'm currently in, and it puts me in a different place. And I don't want to take people out of like what we're trying to portray, because we're not trying to portray porn or nudity. we're trying to portray a good horror movie.
Oh, it's weird. Tons of people are like, oh, I just want it because it's like a throwback to the 80s slasher film. And you watch the 80s slasher film, sure, there's nudity, but it's usually just like quick glimpses and then it's over.
Yeah.
It's not ever like, it's, I mean, it's somewhat, it's gratuitous, but it's not like overly gratuitous like these indie films have it.
Oh, I agree totally. All right. Well, I think we've talked a lot about different stuff on here, especially Wrong Turn. So I'm glad we...
over, which is like pretty good for us, I feel like.
Yeah, it's before an hour and a half. We usually do, what, an hour and a half to 2 hours. So,
yeah,
you know. But yeah, no, I enjoyed this discussion here. I can't wait to bring this stuff back. So this will actually be coming out the same day that I'm shooting with Crystal Cleveland for the first time and everything. So that day. So I'm really excited. I can't wait to get back to the director's chair, you know, and everything.
Yeah, I actually gonna be in a scene with my new sister, because, like, you know, it just, she seems to be such a better fit for my sister.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys together, you know. You haven't even met her yet, have you?
No, not in like real life, on Facebook land and like video, yeah, but not in person.
Yeah, so I've met her like a couple times at like the horror conventions and stuff, so I adore her and I can't wait to work with her finally. And her and Stro get along so well, you know, they've worked together a lot, so they'll be good. And I think this is going to be awesome. I'm excited. I just want to be back on set, like, honestly, right. You know. So, all right. Well, everybody, tune in. I guess we'll be back next month, maybe, if not another month after that. I mean, we're not sure with a lot of things. How things are going to go. What did you say?
Addie's underneath our tripod and she's stretching out. And she keeps moving the camera.
I see that. Like, I see it moving. That's awesome. All right. Well, you guys stick around after a second. And everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And check us out about next month or month after. Have a good one. Bye, everybody. Bye.